This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gents, all things covered, listeners and viewers, appreciate you joining our show once again. Of course, you know how we rock and roll. Another outstanding show prepared for you guys with a spectacular guest. If you're a fan like we are of sound defensive play in the secondary, you will enjoy this show. If you grew up collegiately rooting for UCF, you will enjoy this show. And if you grew up professionally rooting for Seattle or now rooting for the Jacksonville Jaguars, you're going to be jumping for joy because we have one of your favorite Jaguar players on our show right now. Of course, he's a Florida native. You already know he's a good guy. Plays in the secondary, third round pick out of UCF in 2017 by the Seattle Seahawks. Fifth year NFL pro, four with the Seahawks, one with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And get this, this man has already got a Pro Bowl in his under his resume. As we speak, to add more to the resume, don't worry, he got more coming. Shaquille Griffin is joining us here. All things covered, Pat P, Brian McFadden. Shaq, man, how you feeling? How you doing?
Man, feeling good, man. Back getting to it, man. Body feeling good, feeling recovered, rejuvenated. Mm-hmm. And, man, it's great feeling right now. Feeling real good.
Man, it's great to have you on our show. Family and football is a big focus for us, me and Pat P. You know, we have family ties. But for you, you have family ties as well. You know what I mean? Not just playing high school, little league, college. NFL. So what were some of the best and worst parts of playing with your brother growing up as children? What were some of the best parts and what were some of the worst parts?
I think the best parts was actually being on the same team, having my twin brother right there. Ain't nothing like talking about the practice or the game when you get home. But I think the worst part was when the coaches started to put me and my brother against each other. At an early age, that beef got serious. I remember this when you got the Oklahoma drills. You know, nowadays it kind of went down, but back in the day you had the Oklahoma drills, and they called both of us up. Man, somebody about to get embarrassed. Don't know who. For the first time we ever did, I had to be maybe 7-8 years old. And man, we got up and we hit each other, and I got him the first one, ran him over. Good one. I'm one step ahead, got him one. So they said, so he ended up getting up. We had 8 years old. He already saying running back. You know something ain't right, man. I don't see him. He boohoo crying now. Man, he came back, but he hit me so hard. It's probably one of the hardest hit I ever got hit ever in my life for my brother. So at that point, my dad said, don't make them go against each other no more. Ain't gonna
anywhere. Who's the oldest?
I'm the oldest by 1 minute.
Oh, okay, 1 minute. By 1 minute. I got
you. Yeah, seconds. Hey. Every time.
I know, hey, Shaquille, I got twins myself. I got boy, girl, but boy, they got a love-hate relationship. Was it the same for you growing up with your twin? Did you guys have like a love-hate relationship, always fighting and always loving each other?
Nah, it was always like that. You know, I feel like whatever the hate part came from, it was competing. Yeah, that's the crazy part. My dad put us in boxing for the first time, and they put us against each other. We trying to figure out who had the last hit, because ain't nobody going to whoever got the most, games or toys, whatever it is, we compete about everything. So I think that's where the hate came from. I remember Christmas Day, we had got some toys, and he threw one of my toys and it broke. First thing I do is start swinging. No thought. Listen, I get one good hit, I'm taking off running. You know, last hit, you win. Yeah. I take off running. This man scooped me up. So, yeah, man. But it's always a lot of love. But when that came to anything competing, boy, That brother thing go out the door quick.
No question. Yeah, I already know, man, because I got a brother as well. So I know where you're coming from. Totally. But do you think you would have attended a different college if you weren't so passionate about continuing to play with your brother at the college level?
Most definitely. I feel like we had a bond that we had, you know, and we do have right now. But If we didn't have that, I honestly would have went to, I can't even tell you at what school it would be. You know, I turned down offers, you know, and it was.
What was your top five? Like, what? Give me some of your top three or somewhere you would have wanted to go.
True. I didn't even have no top. It was Miami.
Miami.
That's one thing about it. From the beginning, I was going to Miami, but that was a dream for both of us. You know, I was at school and I felt like that's where I was going. You know, once I got that offer for the first time after the camp, they didn't offer my brother, but they said they'd give him a track scholarship. So we both can come and he can try to earn. But shoot, man, he at heart, he football first. Track was cool, was good at it, you know, but shoot, man, football at heart first. So, you know, we didn't make that happen. So that's when UCF came in the picture. But I was sure, die hard, I'm going to Miami. No doubt.
I'm glad you did right. You don't need to go down there. Ain't nothing good going on.
I wanted to go to Miami too.
Matt P, you did right as well.
Hey, I was at the camp. They had Uncle Luke at the camp. So there we go. We had Uncle Luke at the camp. Already.
You did right. You see, I got that Florida State jersey. You did what you were supposed to do, Shaquille. Everything worked out how it's supposed to. And because of the success you had there in Orlando, you got drafted by Seattle. Tell us, what was your first thoughts getting drafted to Seattle when they were still very much in the Legion of Boom era?
Oh, man, I ain't know what to expect. I just knew I was going to see some great guys who I, you know, grew up watching. And I can only imagine what was going to be first when I got there. I'm like, man, I'm going to see these guys who's so awesome in the league already. They ain't going to help me, man. I'm here to take people's spots, man. They ain't fun to mess with me. But it's a total opposite. So, you know, coming in, them guys open arms. I remember seeing Cam Chancellor. When I watch him on the game, it's just everything's just anger. You already know how he play, like just aggressive. I see him, biggest guy, smiling, cheesing from ear to ear. I'm thinking like, dang, but I didn't know he was like this. You know, like I said, only thing I know is, you know, behind the helmet. So, you know, I'm thinking like these guys are going to help, but getting there, man, them guys open arm, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman taking me under his wing, man, it's just some real awesome guys. And it was a blessing to play with those guys like that. Even Bobby Wagner, KJ Rice, you know, Cliff Avery, it was a great group, you know what I'm saying? So I was put in a blessing situation, you know, for them guys to take me under their wing and really learn something, you know, about this game. So, man, it was awesome.
Tell me something that Richard, you know, shared with you or gave you a tip of anything to better your game, because at some point you guys kind of looked identical, obviously, you know, when you got playing across from each other.
Yeah.
Like, was there anything that stuck with you that he gave you during you guys playing time together?
Rookie year, first come in, I think the first thing he did tell me was the main thing is being the position you in is being a rookie, you can't act like a rookie. You know, if you want to be the guy that want to play in this game right away, you know, ain't no time to be like, I'm the youngest guy. It's no such thing. So that's one thing that stuck with me. That's something I still tell rookies now today. You know, you want to be a guy you want to count on. You can't come here and act like a rookie. You know, that maturity level got to add up quick, you know, and it's come to someone counting on you to be where you need to be at. So that was one. But I feel like the main thing in life in general was, you know, being the same. You know, it's some people who show you something different, you know, at work, and he's a totally different person, you know, outside of it. You know, I always maintain the same emotion, you know, when it comes to, you know, my people, my peers. Like, this is who I am. This is what you're going to get. You know, it's one thing about it is no one's going to say, man, yeah, Shaq different, man. I don't really mess with him outside. Blah, blah, blah. That's never my thing. So, you know, and when it comes to that, just staying poised in every situation. Being thrown that fire early, you know, it's something I had to learn really quick. And you know, like I said, you know, I was thrown in this Legion of Boom era. And I feel like with me, it was no room for mistakes. You know, I was trying to do everything right for those guys. But, you know, I was trying to be the guy to study. And I remember one time he just closed my iPad. He said, in the day, but you still got a step kick. You know, learn still got a step kick. You can't get that part right no matter what you remember. And it's just being real. You know, as an older brother, you know, that's just some real things to say, man. Staying poised in every situation. At the end of the day, you got to compete no matter what you know, what you don't. You got to compete. So that's some things that I continue not today. You know, I don't overthink too much, man. In the day, man, you got to come battle. You know, if you want to win, you know, you got to do whatever it takes. So that's something that stayed with me, just staying poised in every situation, every scenario, and on and off the field. You know, that's something that's big that I still use today.
Yeah. And let's go to 2018. I mean, another highlight of your early career, 2018 draft, you were standing right next to your brother when he got the news the Seattle Seahawks were selecting him. How did you process him making history, number one, and also being picked by your team?
Man, I don't know. It's still hard to put it in words. Like I said, man, back when that happened, I was crying more than him. So it was a lot.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a lot of emotions, but I feel like what people didn't see was the process up until like he got actually drafted. Like, understand this is a guy who was there day one, you know, for the publicity and everything, you know, being the guy who he is. He knew he wasn't going day one, but he sat there, you know, got suited up, you know, shaking hands, taking pictures, you know, to give that look that the NFL wanted, you know, from my brother. You know, this is history in the making. We want you to be a part of that. To day two, dressing up again. This is the day he's like, you know what? I possibly could go. I checked off every box. You know, I accomplished this in college. You know, I went to the combine. I made history at the combine. I did that. You know, I'm a marketable guy. You know, I got good character. So, you know, you come into this time, you're getting dressed. You want to check off every box, leave no regrets. And, you know, he felt that, you know, going to day two, and it doesn't happen. So yeah. The type of person says, like, dang, man, they made me come out here and all this happened and I don't know where I'm going. So think about the pressure that he's going through. So I'm like, shoot, I'm feeling the same thing. Mm-hmm. And people ask, did I know CD was going to draft him? Not at all. Not one bit.
Yeah. Real quick for you. Can you give us a little insight about your brother? And if you don't know about Shaquille's brother, he doesn't have two full arms, but he got drafted, played collegiate football, successful, made it to the NFL, was successful as well. But give us a little story, if you can share with us, where you – because, you know, we oftentimes complain about anything, you know what I mean? Yeah. We call it what, first world problems. You know, if something is not there, if your body not feeling well, but your brother was not blessed with two full arms, but never allowed that to detour his dreams. But do you have a story where you actually was probably feeling down and you looked at your brother, you saw him doing something like, man, this man getting it. If he getting it, I got to get it as well.
True, man. It's even hard to even give you a story where I felt like I was down on myself. Then I looked at him. To find motivation, I feel like it was always there. Mm-hmm. So I was the guy, I was like, I can't let up. You know, growing up, my dad used to say, man, you know what? Your brother always trying to take the easy way out. You were talking about my brother. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my head, I'm thinking like, man, I can't lose. You know, and I was always motivated by him because he was always the one. Like, if anybody asks, like, man, who the best one out of y'all two? We always together, we always say, yeah, man, you know, we even. Yeah. But why? Games and stuff from high school, I mean, Little League, high school to college, he was amazing. He was that guy. He was the best one out of us two. We've been totally honest. He was that guy. Mm-hmm. So my thing was, he's already so good and he didn't have to work as hard as me. So I had to keep going. He motivated me. So it was never no time where I was like, man, I feel, you know, I can't get through this. Then I looked at him like, oh, you know what? Yes, I can.
Yeah.
I was always never trying to fail because I knew he was that guy this whole time. So someone who I looked up to at the same time. So yeah, man, dope, I was trying dope. To everything I tried to accomplish. I was hoping he was happy about it, you know?
Yeah.
So pretty cool. He always motivated me.
And speaking of emotions, let's go through the emotion roller coaster. 2009 playoff against Green Bay.
2019.
I'm sorry, 2019 playoff.
Yeah, 2019.
The 2019 playoff against Green Bay, when you and your brother shared a sack against the great Aaron Rodgers. How surreal was that moment when you saw the celebration afterwards?
Do you remember the play call also?
Man, so the play call was a corner blitz.
Yeah.
So I remember everything that happened, and it was so crazy because I'm sitting here trying not to show it. I'm looking like trying to creep in.
So, hey, no question. You know, you can't show that corner blitz too early because you know that tackle or that end man gonna point you out.
Yeah, it gotta be perfect. So this whole time, I'm telling my brother, once we got the play call, I ain't going to look at you. I ain't looking. So this whole time, we wait for the play, and it was a crucial moment. You know, you're talking about third down. Like, you know, in a crucial game. So for it to happen, and the celebration was definitely, that was just, I don't know how that even happened. Wasn't playing. Came like that. So it was always cool, but it was funny. Well, when they first said, it was like, Shaquille Griffin got the sack. He just wanted an interview saying, nah, man, I'm sharing that sack with my brother. And it was his first sack of the season.
Yeah.
So it was an emotional moment for him as well, you know, get a chance to, you know, to share that moment, you know, against a great like that in a big time situation, you know, to make that play. It was awesome. I feel like, you know, that's something I always remember. But, that's experience. It's hard to put into words, man. Understand that we got a chance to, you know, make history from Little League, high school, to college, to playing at the highest level ever and making a play like that on the same team with your twin brother. That's something you always talk about.
That's a dream story. That's a dream story. So, man, you guys have been living a dream, you know, when it comes to athletically doing everything together and then getting drafted to the same team. Like, man, that's
crazy.
That's dope.
Beyond rare.
the current. It's insane, bro.
Yeah. So. Another emotional moment for you. You got rewarded for the success you had your entire 2019 season. But what were your emotions of getting selected to your first Pro Bowl in 2019?
Oh man, it was crazy. So I actually was in Arizona at the time, hanging with some guys before I even got the call. And I remember watching one of the playoffs game. We was just chilling while watching the playoff game. I think it was Stan Fran playing at the time. When I got the call, it was like, hey man, from I think he said Richard Sherman, which was the craziest thing. You know, Richard Sherman, he can't come to the Pro Bowl, in the playoff running, everything that's going on. It was like, you're the next man up, so congratulations on making your first Pro Bowl. I was like, who playing on my phone? What is this? Who playing on my phone right now? I'm in off season right now, already in off season mode right now. who playing on my phone? And it was like, man, then I seen my coaches and stuff like, congratulations, man. I was like, oh, this is real life. People call back, now we talking about flights and all this stuff. I was like, wait, this is the real deal. So, it was a lot of emotions going in, being able to share that with some teammates. My brother was there. He didn't believe it at first. So, man, it was a huge celebration. But, it's something definitely worked hard for. You come in year one, have a great year. I feel like year two wasn't my best. And to come back, to show the reason why I deserve to be here, I feel like it was a huge moment for me, especially in the stepping stone and, my career, to be able to bounce back from a season that I didn't, so much enjoy. So, it was an amazing moment for me.
And also tell me a little bit about, how was it, obviously the emotions and how surreal it was being around the guys though at the Pro Bowl with the practices, going to the different events, because you went to, was it in Orlando still?
Orlando, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so going to like Disney World, doing all the different events. So how was it being around the other NFL greats? Because you're so used to being around just your teammates.
Right.
Was it just being around the other NFL greats?
Oh, it was different, man. It was definitely different because I'm a guy, I'm trying to pick people's brains. So right. I'm looking at guys who've been multiple times, and I like to ask, like, man, I think I remember asking Gilmore. I said, man, how do you stay consistent year in, year out? It's not like you're getting younger. It's not like your body recovers as fast. Like, after a while, it changes.
Right. So
like, how they consistent? Like, what is it? It's the mindset. And, as he says, it's a little bit of both. You got to train your mind just as hard as you train your body multiple times. Like, you get your break here to be able to relax. But once you lock back in, it's a real thing you got to lock into. So when people say you got to sacrifice the next 7-8 months, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a real thing. And a lot of people can't lock in that long to be able to get to where you need to be at. So hearing words like that, like I remember, training today. I'm getting the younger guys, back running around. I've been doing for a minute, but they asked me, like, dang, why you started so early? I said, bro, I'm not as young as y'all no more.
Right.
The truth of the matter, it's going to take me longer. I got to do more for my body. I got to run a little extra, whatever it is, for me to be ready. And I'm trying to teach y'all that now. That's why I'm trying to get people to come train, whatever it takes. Don't wait to the last minute. But it's true. And you can't stay consistent if you don't continue to do more year in, year out. So, man, it was just so real to be with guys like that. And besides just on the field, Earl Thomas being the guy he is, who I stuck around his family most of the time. Yeah. Him and my family is really tight, so we hanging, going to the parks, taking the kids out. Like, it's a real family thing. And it's just cool because now you get a chance to celebrate your success with your people. And I got a chance to feel that. And see what it looks like. So, man, it was amazing. That's something that I definitely want to get back to.
Yeah. One of the things I took from, just like you said, being a young guy, had an opportunity to go to a couple Pro Bowls in my career. That's one of the things that I did as well, was picking the older guys' brains. And one of the things I took from it was, the guys just building in my head, just build a routine, create a routine that would get you in the best position possible, as far as your body, your mind, home stuff, your kids, just create a routine and don't try to break from it. And, that's something that helped me throughout my career and helped me, go to multiple Pro Bowls and also, continue to play in this league for a long time. So I love when the younger guys come to the Pro Bowl just to see their experience, because it's once in a lifetime to be around a ton of great guys in one place at one time. You know what I mean? So I always think the Pro Bowl is a great opportunity for guys, not only to piggyback off each other, but, you know, just, you know, celebrate each other off each other greatness. And the NFL
definitely the best part, you know, get to fight and everybody, you really do celebrate each other. And that's pretty awesome. No one's like, man, I'm this guy. And
right.
Exactly. And no one, I'm above you. I'm above this.
It's all love.
You know, and that's cool. I really love that the most. You're definitely right. Everybody do something there. That was dope.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. So, Shaq, you know, you look at the success going to a Pro Bowl. A year ago, you got rewarded nicely. Signed a huge contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They also gave you, well, you they didn't give it. You earned that C on your jersey as a
guy. Hey, Matt, what do you want to say with that gold jacket? You can't buy that.
You can't buy that. Yeah. Ain't nobody just hand that seat to you. You actually earned it, which means a lot because, you know, you were new to the team. But we've heard a lot, you know, about the challenges of last season in Jacksonville. How much is true and how would you describe the Urban Meyer experience a year ago?
Urban Meyer experience was definitely different. I can honestly say, you know, everything that was going on, I was buying into, you know, understand going to a new team, having a new coach, you know, whatever the message was, whatever this how he wanted to run with, I was open arms and I was ready to go with it, whatever it takes, you know, because at first you got to buy in, you know.
Yeah, you do.
That's first. And I'm a big guy, you know, I'm going to give it to you until proven otherwise. And, you know, and we hit some bumps in the road, you know, with Urban Meyer, and it happened. You know, I feel like my main job was once it happened, I had to make sure I kept the locker room right, because there ain't no such thing when the locker room is against the coaches and everything breaking down. And we already had enough going on in Jacksonville itself trying to rebuild something. So, you know, I was just the guy, you know, that kind of continued to motivate, to understand, like, it's going to be better days. Like, it's going to happen, you know. But like I said, we had a younger team, you know, so it took more for me to do things and say more. When it comes to young guys who buy into whatever is going on, like understands people that was there when they already had a losing season. So, you know, you got guys running around thinking like, man, yeah, you know, it's just a paycheck. It might just be a paycheck. But I was the guy breaking them out of that. It's not that. I mean, we trying to win. We trying to change the environment, trying to change the city, this organization. So I had to be that guy. So it was a lot doing that and, you know, trying to stay above everything that was going on. You know, I feel like anything that happened was a credit topic, you know. We trying to get past that part. You know, we trying to play football. So, yeah, the experience was different. But I can honestly say I bought in, you know, with every message he said. You know, I appreciate him even the opportunity because, shoot, he was one of the reasons why I was there as well. So I can't get that from him. But, you know, like I said, I buy in, I believe, until proven otherwise. Like, you know, whoever it is, I'm going to give you everything I have.
Well, what went through the locker room when Urban didn't go back with the team and that picture came out? Like, how did you guys handle that? Because I know as a fan from afar – I was like, man, what the freeze going on?
it's tough to wrap that around. So at first, understand, a lot of people didn't even know he didn't come back.
And that's the thing. So, you know, as players, you know, coaches fly back with us.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like that never happened. Like, you know, my years in Seattle, I never seen it. You know, so coming here, I didn't know he wasn't on the plane until the came out. And I'm thinking maybe this is some old, at first I'm thinking this old picture or video that resurfaced, like, stuff like that happens. Mm. But once this whole story came out, now we in the locker room, like I said, we're a trending topic now.
Yeah.
So got a game coming up, but you got this situation here. What do you focus on the most?
No question.
So it was kind of hard. Like I said, it was hard for us to wrap our head around it because we had other stuff to prepare for.
Did you guys look at him differently when he addressed the team? I mean, because, you know, for us as players, we get looked at in a different limelight. But let's keep it real. You got to hold coaches more accountable than players because we follow their lead. How was that first meeting when he got back into the locker room, when y'all done saw the picture, he was on the plane? Like, how did you guys look at him when he came back to the team and addressed the team?
So before he addressed the team, we had like a leadership council. So the ones who got the CEO in their chest, we talked. Those are the ones that's gonna, we ain't gonna sugarcoat nothing. We're gonna tell you how it is, how we feel, what's going on. That's why you got us here. So he had a meeting with us. And we pretty much told him, like, you have to build his trust back. Like, understand, we're rocking for you because we got to figure this out. It doesn't matter. It happened. You can't take it back. So we're rocking with you. We're going to try to water whatever we need down. But at this point, you need to get your trust back with your team.
Right.
So before we even had a talk with the team, we spoke with each other at first. And like I said, the guys who got to see on chest, we made sure, like, this is what it is. Like, no sugarcoat. you got some work you got to do. And, you know, now he addressed the team and, you know, he owned up to, you know, the situation, what's going on. And you feel me? Understand that we got to get back to football.
Yeah.
So I respect that. But like I said, we had a lot of stuff we had to prepare for. Like, we got a team that we trying to build this organization back up. You know, so it's cool, you know, now, you know, with Doug Peterson and everything, just now, even me going into the weight room, the locker room, walking around the building, it's a different atmosphere. It feels different because I honestly can say I think he's a totally different person than Urban Meyer. And it shows because yeah, it reflects off the people who work with you.
No question.
You got everybody got a little pep and they step, a little bounce. You feel me? I got no problem staying here. You know, off season people, we gone.
Right.
Guess somewhere else. I wanna be, damn it, I'm there every day training. So, you know, it's different. So, and I appreciate that because we need it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your new coach, what do you know about your new coach, Doug? And what can you expect? What do you expect from him, with him being head coach?
I definitely expect him to open up that playbook because, you know, me going against him when he was over there in Philly, you know, I got a chance to play against him, playoff game, whatever. I know one thing, no matter what players are there, he can make the best out of whatever the situation is. And that's a guy who knows how to adapt to the game. Mm-hmm. And then being a guy who played in the league, it's relatable. It's right. So many situations that he don't see from the years I'm playing that I probably haven't seen yet. It probably some answers that I don't have answers to that I can ask him and he can't relate to. Now that's different. Like guys that been through it, you know, he understands how maybe our body might feel going in week 9, week 10. He might understand that.
Right.
You know, going through camp, what we need to do to adapt a certain situation during the season. He's been there. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I learned over the years is just playing against them.
Yeah. Hey, I forgot, Shaquille and Pat, you know, DeShay. You got DeShay over there as your coach now.
Oh, yeah.
DeShay Townsend.
My boy. Yeah.
Yeah, me. I said it's full circle. So my before my rookie year, you know, you going through the whole process and I had these official visit and he was in Tennessee.
Yep.
So he called me the first time he get here. It says DB coach Tennessee. I said, what? So, you know, he texts me and then I remember the name. And I was like, wait, you know what's crazy? You know, I already had your number from this whole time. He's like, yeah, man, you came and took a visit. Blah, blah, blah. I said, wow, full circle.
Man, DeShay, a great guy, bro. When I was in Pittsburgh, my rookie year and my entire time there, man, DeShay took me under his wing. DeShay was so smart. We had a defensive called tight drop DeShay. That's how much respect Dick LeBeau had for DeShay Townsend. Tight drop DeShay. It was a double coverage call, either play 2 or 6. Man, DeShay's a great guy, man. You're going to have fun, of course. You know what he means football-wise, but he's going to get you guys in the right direction. And talking about this upcoming season, man, listen, I can say this much. Y'all was spending money. Wasn't caring nothing about where it was going. Was spending money, deserving so you had it available. But what do you think the most important move will be for the team? Free agency is still intact, but the next thing is the draft. You guys got the first overall pick. Once again, last year, you spent it on Trevor Lawrence. What do you think would be the direction of the team this year with that first overall pick?
Well, I feel like this should put me right there in the office right now talking about this. I feel like one thing that I said, I feel like we got some great picks on offense, especially with our tight ends and our receivers. We got some really great guys. Beat them in. That's going to change the way we can run the offense, getting Visca and everybody kind of situated, getting Trevor a little more. It's going to be some great things. So I love the pieces they already added, you know, and going on defense, getting another guy that can help in that secondary that's going to make some plays, a guy who loves to go get the ball. So we need that. I said, now one thing going into draft, I said, let's find somebody that's scary on defense. Like, I understand you got the job list and stuff. You got a game plan against guys like that. But give us one more scary guy. You hear this name, you be like, dang, but we got to figure out a situation for him.
Yeah.
You got a game plan against this guy. So you got a strong secondary. You got a game plan against you got Josh Allen. You got a game plan against him. And you get this another scary name, you be like, dang, but we got to figure out a situation for him. The more people you got a game plan against, the easier it is going to be for everybody around the whole defense. Yeah. So that's what I look for.
It sounds like you would prefer – and this might be biased because you play on the defensive side, but it sounds like you would prefer that number one pick to go to a pass rusher.
Yeah.
Go get him.
Hey, I'm okay with that. I can tell you a name that might surface. I know you guys just signed Arden Key from San Francisco, gave him a 1-year deal. Arden Key, he played at LSU, right, Pat P?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. LSU had a pretty good year for San Francisco. But I'm going to tell you a name that could go number one, but a lot of people might not be expecting, because, you know, you hear Hutchinson, you hear Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, freaking Trayvon Walker from Georgia.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. That's what I was going to say.
Trayvon Walker from Georgia. I mean, 6'5", 270, ran 4.5 or whatever it is, and he got hot takes.
My homeboys, they somewhere running around this house. If my homeboys is in this room right now listening to this, and they tell me about what I say, if we get that big boy, Pat, we get that big boy, I'm telling you, they can be like, whoa, boy, they're moving like that. Man, I'll be licking my chops back though, man.
Boy ran 4.5. Hey, we used to say in Pittsburgh, man, make it hot so we can squat, so we can sit on some rocks when we know that ball coming. Make it hot so we can squat.
Man, every team we go against, they're going to see that big fella. They're going to be like, yeah, we got to figure this out.
Yeah, got to figure this out.
that's the same person, but you know, you got the guy from Michigan and there's so many other
guys. You got Hutchinson, Thibodeau.
It's a lot of great guys, but you're talking about what we need, that big fella.
I agree. And obviously we all saw what the AFC West has been doing. They've been reloading all throughout the yin yang, getting everybody who they need to get them back to the dance. So you got the Chiefs reloading, you got Raiders reloading, Chargers.
Even in the division, they got Matt Ryan in the AFC South.
Yeah, then you got the AFC South also reloading with Matt Ryan, who they say probably considered to be one of the weakest divisions, speaking of the AFC South. Mm-hmm. But tell me a little bit, what do you think the Jags have to do to compete for a division title?
Man, we got to win against one. We got to win against who's supposed to win. Like you said, the AFC South, they're not counted as one of the best in the league right now. Mm-hmm. So when I say this division is open, that's just being true.
Right.
In those games, you gotta win. Going against these guys for so long, I don't think Tennessee gonna change too much. We know how to play against them. Gotta win.
Yeah.
Indianapolis, I don't think they ain't running from the run game.
Hey, and this too, y'all got Indianapolis number anytime they play in Duval. They can't beat y'all in Jacksonville. Yeah, I don't even know why. You know,
so these games, we gotta win, but we can win in their place.
Yeah.
That'll mess people up. You know, but we know how to play them. We know how to play Tennessee. Houston, we got to win those games.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's the main job in the South. We have to. And it was crazy, you know, AFC making all these changes. You talk about Denver, all these guys. We have those guys on the schedule. So it's going to see some guys.
Yeah.
And this is the part that you want. This is what you asked for. You're going to get some of the best, literally. The ones they consider the best, you're going against. You should want this. You win those games, you're going to throw some people off.
Yeah,
we got those. You win those games, you're gonna throw people off, and that's what we got to do. So, win the games we're supposed to. That South, we got to win that.
Hey, Shaquille, you got a little fired up talking about the team.
I ain't gonna lie, but I told you I've been training too much. But I'm in shape right now. I'm ready for 1-on-1.
Hey, Pat P, he went to a different level when he started talking about the division teams and who they got.
Fired up, didn't he?
No question. I said he ready right now.
One-on-ones in March.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Hey, Shaquille, last question for you before we transition to the superlative part of the show. Number one draft pick a year ago, Trevor Lawrence, didn't have the rookie season that many thought he would have. Of course, you know, you talked about the structure, the lack thereof, but how good can Trevor Lawrence be, and can he get you guys to that next level as a potential franchise quarterback?
I feel like Trevor Lawrence is still the one that we needed. He's still that guy that we needed over here in Jacksonville. I feel like now, having a year on his belt, understand anybody who played in the league, after year one, you learn a lot about yourself. Oh, yeah. And that maturity level comes so fast. Like, you know how it is being in the league. She'll put extra years on your body, mentally and physically. So having that year on the belt and going through what he's went through with the Urban Meyers and everything, it was a lot of pressure for a young guy to go through. I don't think nothing that's going to be any harder than that. So he can only go up from here. And I feel like they're truly going to let him play his game. Yeah. And that's the part I think I'm most excited for, because it's so much this man has under his belt that he didn't get a chance to use yet.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for him. I feel like he's still the one. I truly, truly do believe in that. And I feel like, shoot, whole Duval do. So
let's go. Shout out to Duval. And speaking of Duval, we're going to transition to our superlative part of our show. Shaq, we're going to hit you with rapid fire questions. We want your honest, unbiased answer. Best fan interaction you've had as a professional player?
Best fan interaction?
Yes. Fan could have done something weird, could have been something unexpected. You're like, oh, shoot, what? Like, best fan interaction?
In Seattle, had to be my second year. My brother was there. And, you know, when you host camp, you know, you get the fans and all that stuff involved. Someone asked for a kiss, and I just felt like that was a little, like, imagine what? In camp signing football. Oh, here you go, little kid. Hey, here you go, the shirt, sign my flag. Then, oh, I just want to kiss you so bad. Nah, can't be doing that. you know, off script outside of football is being crazy, but that, I feel like that's for any football player when they see that. But to be there, like, I don't care where the camera's at. I don't care who watching. We can do this. Type ready. That was a little, you know, that was different for me. I had to walk away on that one. Sign the football. I had to keep that pushing.
All right. Next one, your favorite vacation spot.
Favorite vacation spot. So I just went to Maldives, actually, maybe.
Man, last when you go there, I went there a couple years ago.
Yeah. So that was crazy. Maldives was insane, man. You know, they take you to the little island. You know, it's all water. Yeah, they going, it's all water around there, man. I had a nice little suite where, shoot, we had an upstairs room with a nice, crazy, amazing view. And then the downstairs bed was in a tank. Like, I got sharks.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was crazy. That's but will I go there anytime soon? Probably not.
You know, it's a hike to get there now.
Oh my god, that's all day. All day. So I go back, probably, you know what I'm saying, run around some kids for a year or two or something, and then I'll probably check it out again. But yeah, that flight, boy, it'll make it.
Yeah, it's a hype to get there, man. Definitely not, for sure.
So far, that's my favorite one so far, my D's for sure.
All right, next question. You recently asked your Twitter followers this on Twitter. Favorite workout song? What's your favorite workout song?
My favorite workout song?
Yeah.
So I'm an R&B fan. So workouts, I'm playing Rod Wave 1. But I might throw some Lauryn Hill on there, Erykah Badu, like some real slow jams that just get you in that mood. Like, man, just relax.
Yeah.
Man, just chill. Man. Everything going to be okay. That type of music make me feel good. Like, everything going to be all right. You put some Lauryn Hill on right now, you going to sit back and be like, you know what? Yeah, you straight. I'm going to be all right.
Yeah. You listening before you
I'm a relax. I ain't ran by nothing else but what she's saying right now. She's jamming right now. You know that feeling. So I'm a real R&B fan because I like being that element. Like, man, we're gonna be good, man. Just grind it out straight.
So you listen to Lauryn Hill before you go out and play?
Yo, I'm R&B.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie though.
Now right before we go out, you know, you got the locker room music, and I tend to stay, and I gotta crank people up. So I'm cranking them up, and I'm gonna get myself right too. So you know, that happens, but yeah. When I'm chilling right before the day of the game in the morning on the way there, shoot, even when warm-ups.
Hold on, wait a minute. Hey, Shaquille, I won't get you in trouble, but I'm a fan of your girlfriend when it comes to the rap game. Hey, you didn't mention Tokyo Jets. Hey, Pat P, his girlfriend is Tokyo Jets. Shout out to Duval, by the way.
Hey, I wasn't, but she the same way like me, man. She low key, like, she understand the fame and all that stuff. Shoot, being who I am, you know, and everybody that, you know, me and my brother, you know, we incognito. If you figure it out, cool. But I ain't looking for no attention, and she the same way. So you feel me? Me not mentioning her name, one everybody already know.
She yeah. Okay,
wow.
I thought you might have had her on the playlist.
Right. She pulled up somewhere. You look just like Tokyo. She said, I don't know who that is. So, yeah, I already know how she is. We the same way. So, you feel me? But, no, man, that's the one who really kind of, like, you feel me, helped me out, you know, a lot mentally. So, I appreciate her, you know. But, yeah, you know, my girl going to be doing some big things, you know what I'm saying? So, no, that's cool. That's cool.
No doubt. Well, I got one more for you before you enjoy the rest of your evening. Best role stadium you played at?
Best stadium?
Best road stadium. Road stadium. You played at.
Best road stadium. I ain't gonna lie, man. Shoot. Green Bay.
Ambo.
Green Bay. But I think it's not just about the stadium. I think it's the history behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and then, my first start, first game, Matter of fact, I didn't even start that game. It was the first game I really just played. You know, this rookie year, first game of the season. You know, one of your corners get thrown out early in the first quarter. Shoot, man, I'm down to start now. Yeah. You know, they're going against Aaron Rodgers and, you know, the young Davante Adams. You're talking about 5 years ago. The younger Davante Adams, they still, but they had a team.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, you go from that historic time for me playing against one of them greats early on to getting that sack with my brother in that same stadium. It's just, it's a lot of history behind that one stadium. Now, I don't been to the stadium where I don't seen the look. Like, you talk about Dallas with the big Dramatron, and you talk about L.A. now, the way they got, it's some amazing stadiums, but you talk about some history, you know, made some plays. I feel like that's the one.
No doubt. No doubt. Hey, man, Shaquille, man, thank you for joining us on this show.
Appreciate it, man.
Outstanding high character guy. We'll have that C on. You better have that C on your jersey again.
Oh, ain't going nowhere. That's for the rest of my career. It ain't going nowhere.
No question. Hey, but, man, best of luck to you this season. Most importantly, stay healthy. When you're healthy, everything else going to play itself out. But thank you for joining us, Brian McFadden, Pat Peterson, all things covered. Man, see you when we see you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all again, man. Appreciate that. Yes, sir.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.